Today I'm going to do some reflecting from the Psalms. I'm going to read a bit from one Psalm and all of the next Psalm. The first Psalm I'm reading, Psalm 18. That's a very long Psalm. We won't be reading all of that. And then I'm going to also be reading Psalm 130. So the first part of Psalm 18 and then Psalm 130. But let me pray as we come to read God's Word. Father, we come to your Word today to meet with you. And by your Spirit, to deepen our knowledge of who you are and what you're doing, to be encouraged, challenged, strengthened and changed so that we might live with you, like you and for you, in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm 18. I love you, Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress and my deliverer. My God is my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I called upon the Lord who is worthy of praise, and I have been saved from my enemies. The cords of death entangled me, the torrents of destruction overwhelmed me, the cords of the grave coiled around me, the snares of death confronted me. In my distress I called to the Lord, I cried to my God for help. From his temple he heard my voice. My cry came before him into his ears. The earth trembled and quaked, and the foundations of the mountains shook. They trembled because he was angry. Smoke arose from his nostrils. Consuming fire came from his mouth. Burning coals blazed out of it. He parted the heavens and came down. Dark clouds were under his feet. He mounted the cherubim and flew. He soared on the wings of the wind. He made the darkness his covering, his canopy around him, the dark grain clouds of the sky. Out of the brightness of his presence, clouds advanced with hailstones and bolts of lightning. The Lord thundered from heaven. The voice of the Most High resounded. He shot his arrows and scattered the enemy. With great bolts of lightning he routed them. The valleys of the sea were exposed and the foundations of the earth laid bare. At your rebuke, Lord, at the blast of breath from your nostrils. He reached down from on high and took hold of me. He drew me out of deep waters. He rescued me from my powerful enemy, from my foes who were too strong for me. And Psalm 130. Out of the depths I cry to you, Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to my cry for mercy. If you, Lord, kept the record of sins, Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, so that we can with reverence serve you. I wait for the Lord. My whole being waits, and in his word I put my hope. I wait for the Lord more than the watchman waits for the morning, more than the watchman waits for the morning. Israel, put your hope in the Lord. For with the Lord is unfailing love, and with him is full redemption. He himself will redeem Israel from all their sins. Today I want to talk about two things that we need to practice getting better at and intentionally do. And the first one is calling. Psalm 18, somewhere in the first few verses, says, I called on the Lord. And in Psalm 130, it says, I cry out to God. And if you do a bit of a word search on the book of Psalms, you'll notice that you'll find that those sort of phrases, called and cried, or cried, appear in the book of Psalms about 60 times. And if we remember that the book of Psalms is the primary place where we can learn what it is to have a personal relationship with God. It's the record of people's personal interactions, for the most part, in interactions with God in all sorts of circumstances of life, the good, the bad and the ugly. And if this is such a prevalent theme in the book of Psalms, then we need to take notice of it. Calling on the Lord. We sang a song today, I will call on the Lord. What on earth does that mean? And why should I do it? Well, as is often the case with most things, And we've got sound effects this morning, which is fantastic, appropriate to the message, which is even better. Calling out. I guess think about it. I mean, you know, what happens at our place where we have, you know, a community meal at Oikos on Sunday night, we come and then people leave and someone leaves something behind. And so I race to the front door, open the front door and say, "Hey," whoever the person is, I call out to them to get their attention, to bring attention to them. Or, you know, you see the movie, you know, where you know, the person arrives at his or her lover's house and they're calling out, "Come to me." It's a bit more than just asking, isn't it? It's asking with urgency. It's asking with intensity. Often it's asking with persistence and inconvenience. And here in the book of Psalms, we see people who have known God in their lives and have been inspired to write poetry about it and songs about it, find themselves on these many occasions calling out to God, often in times of deep distress. And so we need to learn what it is to call on God. Just like we call on people in emergencies, just like we call on people when it's an urgent situation, guess when we call on people when it's time sensitive and we say, "Don't forget me, don't leave me behind," before they drive off. Calling on the Lord. And Psalm 18 is a Psalm of David, and you read it and you think, well, actually this is about warfare and God helping me kill enemies and all those sort of things. And it seems very intense, right? And David actually was involved in many wars that were threatening to his life and the life of the nation. And so it was a real situation for them. But you and I, we can find that we're sometimes in fights as well, can't we? Maybe it's with people that we know. Maybe it's a health situation. Maybe it's some confusion that we have about why there's suffering in the world or whatever else. And the appropriate response is to call out to God. The Psalms teach us to do it. We should call out to God for a number of reasons. The first one is because God is there. I mean, if God wasn't there, there'd be no point in calling out to God, right? I mean, you might yell out in pain or frustration or something else, but you just know that it's just echoing off the walls and bouncing off the ceiling. But the reason we call out to God, because God is there. And although we may not feel like it in our immediate circumstance, the second reason that we call out to God is because God cares. Psalm 18 is David's record, or one of the ways he recorded on the time where he called out to God in his dire straits. And I'm not talking about the rock band. And God rescued him. He called out to God and he found God to be his fortress, his stronghold, the hiding place, the place where he could go and feel secure and safe. So we call out to God because God is there. We call out to God because God cares and because God is able to do something about our circumstances. I will call upon the Lord. All of us have challenges in life of one sort or another sort. But sometimes I think what we do is we sort of go into this sort of stoic phase. Or this stoic mode. I've just got to sort of hunker down and get through it, you know. Or maybe I haven't had many answers to prayer, or I haven't seen answers to prayer about these things before, so I do the sort of cursory praying, "Oh God, please help with this or that," but there's really no intensity. "Oh God, hear me, it's David here, I'm in real trouble. Can you please do something?" It's okay. When the situation demands it, calling out to God is the appropriate thing to do. Now, for some of you, that might actually be by actually calling out loud and making a noise. So you might like to go somewhere and close the door so you don't disturb other people. Or maybe your anguish is so acute that just calling out, you don't care. And that's okay. Praying in anguish is something that even Jesus did in the Garden of Gethsemane. But sometimes your calling might be so intense that it's actually silent. And there's the story of Hannah in the beginning of 1 Samuel, and she was without child, and that was a terrible thing in her day. And she went up to the temple every year with her husband, and she was praying and calling out to God so intently that it says her lips were moving but was making no noise. And Eli, the corrupt old drunk priest, thought that she was drunk. But no, she was intensely calling out to God, praying in quietly, her lips quivering and moving, even though no sound was coming out. When we call on God like that, it transfers from just being an intellectual exercise to being a whole of body exercise. So you and I, one of the things that we need to learn to do is calling. And closely connected with calling is waiting. You know, you go up to the house and knock on the door, you yell out, "Is anybody home?" And then you put your ear to the door and you be quiet for a minute, right? And you listen, you wait to see if there's a response. And if we are going to really call in a helpful biblical way, we need to combine it with waiting. We need to be calling out to God, but then we need to stop for long enough and wait for long enough for God to respond. It's not like just a drive-by calling. You know, you're in a car and you drive past my house. "David, are you there?" You know, "David, are you there?" As you sort of drive past. You don't even bother to wait to find out if I am actually there. Right? Then that's not really a call. All you're doing is like being a public nuisance at that point, right? You're not actually, it's like calling because you can, but you're not really wanting an answer, right? And when we call out to God, we might be able to want to call out to God for a specific thing. "God, I want you to do this. God, I want you to do that. Where are you, God, in this?" But here's the thing. When we call out to God, it's actually to get close to God. And when we get close to God, guess what? It's His agenda, not ours. There's a story of Joshua, and he's crossed into the promised land with the people of Israel after he's taken over from Moses. And they're approaching Jericho, right? And the angel of the Lord appears to Joshua, and he says, they're going to confront this walled city as they're going to try and take over the promised land. And he says, "Whose side are you on? Ours or theirs?" And he says, "I'm the Lord, and I have now come." Right? We might be calling out to God about an unjust situation or something else or whatever it happens to be. And we call on God and we want God to be on our side, to have our perspective and our point of view. But here's the thing, we actually need God's perspective. And calling and then waiting means that we're open to God's agenda and God's way and God's priorities and God's speaking. So in Psalm 130, "Out of the depths I cry to you, Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ear be attentive to my cry for mercy." And we can guess that the thing that the psalmist was crying out to God in this case was sin in his own life. And he was so disturbed by the fact that he was sinning, or that he couldn't stop sinning, or the particular area of sin that he just couldn't have victory over, he was crying out to God. Have you ever cried out to God about your own brokenness and sinfulness? And he cries out to God with hope, because he says, "If you, Lord, have kept a record of sins, Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, so that we can with reverence serve you." I'm calling out to you, God. I need your mercy. because I know there is a hope for breakthrough. And then what does the psalmist do? He adds to his calling, waiting. I wait for the Lord. My whole being waits. And in his word I put my hope. I wait for the Lord more than the watchmen wait for the morning. More than the watchmen wait for the morning. Or maybe to put it this way, you know, when you wake up in the middle of the night and you're just wishing you get back to sleep, you're waiting for that moment when your eyes close and you go back to the land of Nod. It's that sort of intense waiting. I'm waiting for that. And then it seems like he gets a breakthrough, because then he swings into declaring hope to the whole nation of Israel. He says, Israel, put your hope in the Lord, for with the Lord is unfailing love, and with him his full redemption. He's done the calling, he's done the waiting, and God has met him, and he's on this place of breakthrough and confidence that he can now encourage other people with the same thing. He's encountered God's unfailing love and full redemption. Calling and waiting. Now, I reckon there's two sorts of waiting. Right? The first one is where you wait and you intensely wait and nothing's distracting you. It's a bit like you might be at a rock concert, right? And you're waiting for the performer to come on stage. You don't care what's going around. All you're doing is you're looking intently to see the first glimpse of them, ready to scream your lungs out, if you're into that sort of thing. Or maybe you were when you were youth, I don't know, right? But you're waiting intently. You're watching. You're not letting anything distract you. And the other one is like attentive waiting. And that's where you're sort of doing stuff, but your ear's tuned to the word, right? So, for example, you might be in a doctor's surgery and you're reading, you know, something about Princess Di in a magazine from 1992, right? Because that's the latest magazine that happens to be there in the doctor's surgery at the time. But what you're doing as you look at the pictures and read about whatever drama was going on in her life, you're listening at the same time, waiting for, David, your turn, or Mr. Wanstall, or whatever your name is, right? You're attentive, waiting and expecting something while you're doing something else. And both sorts of waiting are appropriate. And I actually think that the intense waiting, if we practice the intense waiting, it can help us with the attentive waiting. So calling and waiting. Calling on God. We're honest about our situation and our desperate need for God. We engage our whole bodies, and not just like the sort of arrow prayer, like passing thought, but it's God. But then we're confident enough that God's heard us that we actually pause and wait to hear what God might say, or look to see what God might do. I've been reflecting on this in the last 24 hours or so, and there's some, because I think sometimes we can feel like, oh, I'm not very good at doing this calling and waiting stuff. And that's okay, we can learn to practice with the small things. You don't have to wait till there's a really big thing to start learning how to call and wait. Or you might have a big thing in your life, you're saying, I don't know how to call and wait on God about that, but I can start practicing in some other area of my life where it's smaller and maybe a bit more accessible, that I can call and wait on God in that area of my life. On Tuesday night, one of our children, who I won't name because we have to pay them money if we name them in our sermons without their prior approval, needed some sewing done to modify some clothing for a particular event they were going to. And Chris was wanting to do that on Wednesday before she had to leave to go to New Zealand for the 3DM conference over there. And the trouble was, the sewing desk, the key was missing. The key was missing. Now, and we've been, learning, and our in our church have been learning how to listen to God better. And so I'm calling out to God. I didn't do it really desperately, but I said, God, where is the key? Where's the key, God? And I'm listening and trying to wait and hear God, and I get nothing. I don't get a picture. I don't get a prompting. Just nothing. And then Chris is off at work, and I'm thinking, what am I going to do? I Google some stuff, and I pray. I've called out to God. I've asked God, but I haven't actually got anything. And so then I go around my day, and I'm down at Power Neighbourhood House delivering some of our food, emergency food parcels that we give down there. And there's some ladies there. I think, maybe they know something about sewing. I say, I've got this problem. And one of them says, well, you can just try and pull the thing open. And I hadn't thought about that. So I wander home, and I then look in the... And she also told me a sewing centre where I might be able to get a key, a replacement key. And so then I sort of lifted the lid off. I could stick my head in underneath and I could see, oh, wow, I can see the back of the lock. And what's more, there's some screws there. You beauty. I just need to go and get a screwdriver and unscrew them. Then I can open it without even destroying it. My problem is solved. And they're saying, well, God, why didn't you just tell me, get your Swiss Army knife that you bought in Switzerland, David, all those years ago, and pull out the Phillips head bit and go and unscrew the thing so you just come. Why didn't God just give me the answer? And this is my reflection as I'm learning what it's like to call on God, right? Is that sometimes God doesn't give me the answer directly because God doesn't want me to treat him as Google. Whenever I've got a problem, just ask God. Right? God has set it up so that we actually rely on each other as well. So what I actually needed to do was actually go and ask some other people, and they gave me a good idea, then I got back and then it all worked out together, right? So I'm learning that when I'm calling on God, it's not just a me and God thing, but it's a me and God's people and whoever else thing. And so sometimes when you're in a desperate situation, it's I'm calling on God, I don't necessarily feel like I hear anything directly from God in my heart or my mind, but that doesn't mean God isn't answering you and coming back to you. And the second thing was actually about this very sermon. It was about 10 o'clock last night and I didn't have a clue about what I was going to speak about this morning. Right? Now oftentimes I have sermons planned out well in advance and all those sort of things, and it wasn't like I hadn't thought about the fact, oh David, you've got to preach on Sunday. It wasn't like I got to Saturday evening and what am I going to do? Oh, that's a surprise. No, I knew I had to preach this morning, right? But it was just like it wasn't clear to me what it was going to be. And so I'm praying and I'm calling out to God. Now this is not like a life-threatening thing. Like I guess I could have found an old sermon and just reheated it, but I don't like doing that. And so I practiced this attentive listening that I talked about, right? So I sat down, I spent some time quietly before God, I practiced the intense listening and waiting, right? God, what do you want me to speak about tomorrow? Nothing. And so then I practiced the attentive waiting that I talked about before. And the way I did that was, I got up from where I was sitting down and I went over to the sink and a miracle occurred because I started to do the washing up. So there is a God, right? That proved it right there at that moment. Because what it was, washing up wasn't like an intense activity, right? But it was something that I could be doing while leaving my ear, even my spiritual ear attentive to what God might say. And so as I did that, I actually was just getting to the thing and I thought, and then the thought popped into my mind about calling. Well, actually, it was more about, well, David, you need to go and look at the songs for today. And it'll be in there. And it was. Calling, intense waiting, attentive waiting. One example where I called and the answer came through people around me. The other time I called and the answer came more directly. And I learned something about calling on God. Just in those small bits of life. That hopefully I can now apply in the bigger bits of life too. So approximately 60 times it says calling or crying out to God in the Psalms. About 40 times it talks about waiting on God, and there's other times it talks about being still. So I didn't count it up exactly, but calling and waiting are big parts of the spiritual life. They're really important things for us to learn and engage with. and we can learn to grow in those areas. So, as we come towards the end of our service, I'm going to give all of us a chance to practice. And I just want you to think about, what's an area in your life where you'd like to call out to God about Him? Maybe it is a really big thing. And you guys are going to say, David, stuff it. I'm not going to start practicing the smaller stuff. I've just got to go for the big thing, because that's the thing that's only in my mind at the moment. Or maybe it's a smaller thing that comes to your mind. And then I want you to think about, how on earth am I actually going to call out to God? How am I going to ask with intensity? How am I going to put my whole body into it, not just the passing thought? Now, I'm not going to ask you to start really being calling out loud to God here, because you might feel uncomfortable about that. But if you want to, I'm not going to stop you, you know. Calling out to God is a good thing. It's taught in the Scriptures. But then also think about, as I call, how am I going to wait? So how am I going to call? Where and when am I going to do it? And how am I going to wait? Intensely or attentively, for God's word directly or through people around me. Maybe you feel like you need to enlist some people to call on God with you. Saying, I don't know that I can even do this on my own. And say, I'm happy for you to come and talk with me or someone here that you trust or someone else. And say, this is my situation. Will you call on God with me so that we can do it together? Like, 1, 2, 3. David, are you home? Calling in unison. Except you're calling to God, not to me. That's a much better thing to do. I will call upon the Lord, for He alone is the one who can save. Can you put up the words of that song, please, Celia? I guess the first verse. I will call upon the Lord, for He alone is strong enough to save. Rise, your shackles are no more, for Jesus Christ has broken every chain. Just like the psalmist, he called on God, he cried out to God for mercy, knowing that God could do something. So let's pray. And see if you can identify in your mind what you want to call out to God for and how you're going to do it. Father, thank you that the Scriptures and the Psalms in particular teach us about calling and waiting. Lord, we can put our whole body into it, not just the cursory prayer. And I pray that now in this moment and the days ahead, you'd teach us how to do this better. To call and to wait. To call and to wait. Because you're there, because you care, and you can do stuff about our situation. God, you know the things that are on people's hearts, deep in people's hearts here today. Lord, for themselves, for their family, for their friends, for this world. Lord, we call on you. We need to draw near to you. We need to encounter you, God, about these circumstances. We need to hear your response. We need to see your action. Lord, we're calling on you in faith. We're calling on you in need. We're calling on you with expectation. Come to us, Lord. Amen.